From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Reaction of the Church to the Hypocrisy of Hananias and Sapphira, part of his series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Today's text is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Continue in Prayer. It is interesting to remark how large a portion of sacred writ is occupied with the subject of prayer, either in furnishing examples, enforcing precepts, or pronouncing promises. We scarcely open the Bible before we read, Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And just as we're about to close the volume, the amen of an earnest supplication meets our ears. Instances are plentiful. Here we find a wrestling Jacob, there a Daniel who prayed three times a day, and a David who with all his heart called upon his God. On the mountain we see Elias, in the dungeon Paul and Silas. We have multitudes of commands and myriads of promises. What does this teach us but the sacred importance and necessity of prayer? We may be certain that whatever God has made prominent in His Word, He intended to be conspicuous in our lives. If He has said much about prayer, it is because He knows we have much need of it. So deep are our necessities that until we are in heaven, we must not cease to pray. Dost thou want nothing? Then I fear thou dost not know thy poverty. Hast thou no mercy to ask of God? Then may the Lord's mercy show thee thy misery. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. Prayer is the lisping of the believing infant, the shout of the fighting believer, the requiem of the dying saint falling asleep in Jesus. It is the breath, the watchword, the comfort, the strength, the honor of a Christian. If thou be a child of God, thou wilt seek thy Father's face and live in thy Father's love. Pray that this year thou mayest be holy, humble, zealous, and patient. Have closer communion with Christ, and enter oftener into the banqueting house of His love. Pray that thou mayest be an example and a blessing unto others, and that thou mayest live more to the glory of thy Master. The motto for this year must be, Continue in prayer.
O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call, my comfort by day and my soul. Thank you.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Although Ananias and Sapphira tried to deceive Peter about their giving their proceeds to the church, their lie was known immediately, and God struck them dead. The remainder of chapter 5 details the results of that judgment. There was great fear upon the church. That fear produced purity within the church. The believers experienced a remarkable unity among themselves, and their fervency in prayer increased. In addition, the believers were more determined than ever to take a strong stand for Christ. But, as frequently is true, the devil reacted to the blessing by inciting persecution from the religious leaders among the Jews. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message entitled, The Reaction of the Church to the Hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira.
Now, the main part of the chapter is from verse 17 to verse 40. And I'm only going to list, I trust that you'll think it out a little more fully, but I'm only going to list the parts of this section individually. Here we have the persecution. Now the church has been purified. It has been made pertinacious in its stand. It's been preserved. It's been given great power. God is moving in a wonderful way. Obviously, then, the devil must kick back, and here we have persecution. Now, quickly, let's go down the verses. Verse 17. You will notice the foundation of this persecution. It was based on indignation or envy. They were filled with envy. Why I like to read that, you know, I like to see the apostates mad. And I like to see the apostates sad. And I like to see them get envious. They get jealous when God moves upon his people. You see, there's only one other place that I know in town, that maybe two other places, that's like an apostate church. One would be the mortuary and the other would be the graveyard. Those two in an apostate church, they make a good threesome. And therefore, when an apostate church sees the Lord moving among his people, they get envious. They get envious. They begin to make all sorts of charges and they just show their indignation and their envy. And if they could, they would do exactly what the apostates here did. They started a persecution. Notice the fury of the persecutors. Verse 18, they laid hands on the apostles and they put them in the common prison. That's ecumenical love. Apostates always have plenty of love for themselves and for their own kind. But they never have any love for men that are standing for God. Now let's say it clearly, that it's not one whit different today. The only difference today is that the apostates in Greenville don't have the legal muscle to put God's people in jail. Or they would do it. And your lovey-dovey characters who stand with folded hands and they sound more like mincing women than men when they get behind the sacred desk, and all these ecumenical lovers and do-gooders, they love us so much and they would do that much good that they would still fill the common prison if they could. The devil's crowd has never changed. Their fury has never altered. Thank God when the devil's boiling mad against the people of God. In verse 19, you will see the friend of the persecuted. Because the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple. The angel of the Lord. My, the Lord's never far away from them that call upon him. The Lord is nigh to his people when their heart is fit to be broken by the world. The Lord is especially with them in the time of trouble. In Isaiah 43 and verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He says that the rivers are not going to overflow us. He says that the fire is not going to burn us. Why? Because he says, I am with you. Oh, thank God for the presence of the friend of sinners and saints indeed. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, you have the consternation of Nebuchadnezzar. I'd love to have seen that old boy's face. You remember what happened? He put three men into a burning fiery furnace. And just so as to make sure that they would burn good and proper, he made it seven times hotter. So hot indeed that the men that threw them in could burn to death. So it was good and hot. And then he comes, man, I'd love to have seen his face in the lurid glare of the flames of the fire. He looks in. And although there's an intense heat, His face blanches with fear. And he says, did not I cast three men bound into the fire? Lo, I see four men loose and walking. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Thank God, there's a friend for every child of God. And in the day of trouble, in the day of trial, when the fires of affliction or persecution or difficulty of one kind or another, when those fires are burning hot against her soul, thank God he is with us. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And you'll notice he always then, verse 19, gives freedom. He always gives liberty. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty in every sense. Even when Paul was in jail, he had liberty. And the greatest joy of his heart was when he wrote to Timothy, and he said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 9, that the word of God cannot be bound. It says they can put me in jail, but they can't stop this glorious freedom. Because the word of God cannot be bound, there's freedom here for the persecuted. You'll notice their faithfulness in verse 20 and 21. God doesn't set his people free by miracle and say, now go home and lie in bed and steer clear of trouble. He says, go back and stand and speak in the temple. I like those words. Go. Stand. Speak. Three good words for the Lord to use to us. Get moving. Get standing. And start speaking. What did they do when they heard that? All they needed was the command of God. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. What were they teaching? The words of this life. That's their faithfulness. We need to have a people whose mouths cannot be stopped. We need to have a people who have got such an experience of the Lord that all hell couldn't stop them speaking. You remember what happened to Martin Luther? The Pope wrote a papal bull. Now, a papal bull doesn't have horns, but it roars nonetheless. And it roared straight from the Pope's throne in Rome. And it gave men the right to murder Martin Luther. Indeed, it wouldn't be counted as murder. If murdered Martin Luther, they would actually be doing a good work for God, and they would be laying up merit for heaven. Did that shut Luther up? No, sir. His friends captured him. They took him out of circulation for a while to make sure that nobody could get their hands upon him. But Luther never willingly went out of circulation. And when he stood before his accusers, his words have become some of the most famous words in history. He says, here I stand, I can do no other. So help me God. And so he did. God helped him. It's the kind of men we need today. Men who will be faithful. You notice the fear of the persecutors. This is a touch which only the Holy Ghost can put. Do we find that the people in prison were afraid? No, sir. We don't. Do we find that the people who were in danger of being put in prison were afraid? Not in the slightest. But where is the fear? The fear is in the high priest's heart, and in the chief priests, and in the Sadducees. And they were dead scared. Verse 24, they feared the growth of the gospel. They doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And they were dead scared what was going to happen. What do the enemies of the gospel fear more than anything else? My friend, they wouldn't fear God's people if they took up guns and started to blaze their way across America by force. They wouldn't fear us that way. They could wipe us out in 24 hours. But I'll tell you what they do fear. They fear God's people getting God's blessing. They fear the gospel. Why? To get back to the Reformation period. Why did the papal bull roar? I'll tell you why. Because the gospel was preached. And no matter what you can do, can't stop the gospel. I've been reading again this week a little book that I have. It's a very sad book in a way, and yet it's a very joyful book. By an old Scottish Presbyterian called Robert Pollock. Tales of the Covenanters. Three incidents in the life of our covenanting forefathers in Scotland. And you know, I found this. I think of the case of a soldier. I'm not going to tell you the entire story. We'd be here all day. But I think of the case of a soldier who could blow the brains out of a godly woman just because he found her in the place of prayer. And she wouldn't swear away her love to Christ. Blew her brains out in front of her own two little children to leave them orphans. That woman's daughter became one of the choicest saints in Scotland. She never lived very long, but she radiated the love of Christ. And her son also was saved and lived for many years to witness a good confession of faith. But from that day, the soldier who blew her brains out lived with the devil in his heart and with a fire in his conscience. And strange as it may seem, when he came to die, he was picked up by the very covenanters whom he persecuted. He was tenderly laid upon the bed. He was tended. He was nursed. And in the midst of it all, in frightful groans and cries, he reenacted all his bitter past, and now he gave vent with all its fury to the fear of his heart that he was dropping down into hell. And stranger still, at that very time, in the midst of a snowstorm, such as I suppose only a mountainous region or a hilly region in Scotland can know, so quick was the change, the very son who had watched this very soldier blow the brains from his mother came into the room, seeking shelter, pleaded with him to be saved. Watched them sink down to death and hell with the fear of God's eternity in his heart, in his voice, in his words, and upon his face. All the enemies of God have more cause to fear than the people of God. These people feared the growth of the gospel. Verse 26, they feared the passion of the people. They were afraid the people, instead of slaying the apostles, would slay the apostates. And then, most of all, verse 28. This is worthy of your closer study. They feared the blame of the blood of Christ. What do they say at the very end of the verse? Intend you to bring this man's blood upon us? I would hold a minute. These were the very people who a little while before had stood outside Pilate's judgment hall. And in Matthew 27:25, we read they cried, "His blood be on us and on our children." Ah, but now they were afraid of it. The fear of the persecutors. The forcefulness of Peter's, verse 27 to 32. You will notice clearly what Peter says. This is not just a mere fanatic zeal. This is no manifesto for a revolutionary. Rather, Peter was communicating and enunciating three great themes. Verse 29, the theme of his duty. We ought to obey God rather than man. There's a big discussion always among God's people as to the powers of the state and the duties of the believer. We are to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. We are never commanded to render to Caesar that which is God's. Never. And when the state takes the prerogatives that belong to the Lord, when the state commands our disobedience to God, when the state invokes its power to force God's people to sin, then we stand where Peter stood and we say we ought to obey God rather than men. That's the principle, and that's his duty. Now, of course, that's not only true in your relations to the state. That's your principle of duty in relation to every man around you. Obey God. Obey God. And if you get a man who truly obeys God, he will do what's right toward the state. He will do what's right towards his family. He will do what's right towards his employer. He'll do what's right towards society in general. Get a man who obeys God, and he'll do right in every other area of his life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.